Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds ready to go live. Good evening and welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I'm your host, Francine Allen Humphrey, and as always, it's my pleasure and my delight to be with you. I thank you so very much if you're a longtime listener for tuning in to the broadcast. For those who are new and this is your first time, we welcome you. We thank you for tuning in. Please tell a friend and come back and join us again next Thursday night. Welcome. Issues Concerning Women focuses on women and their families reaching long and short-term goals. I have a co-host who is Veronica McMillan of the Micro Nonprofit Network, and Veronica also works with women, nonprofit organizations, and then other organizers to do some great things in the community. So you, if you ever get an opportunity to meet her, please do so. So the Micro Nonprofit Network helps small nonprofit organizations become foundationally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and program development for 501c3 organizations. We offer advocacy services to infuse and stabilize households and foster a sense of community involvement, self-worth, and self-determination. Our vision is to empower women and their families through hands-on demonstrations, details of home ownership, career development, investing for retirement, exercise, and nutrition classes, entrepreneurship, relationship building, and adult literacy programs. We are dedicated to making a difference. So glad you could be with us tonight. And again, welcome. It is a beautiful evening in Virginia Beach, Virginia. So wherever you are, I hope it's beautiful as well. It's about 64 degrees right now. It's mostly cloudy where we are, but it doesn't matter because wherever we are, we bring the sunshine, even if it's getting dark earlier now. It's fall. The season is changing, so we are definitely looking forward to the holiday season. So as we move from October into November, before you know it, Thanksgiving will be here. So I want to introduce everyone to my co-host, Veronica McMillan. Hey, Veronica, how are you?
Hey, Francine, how are you? And the guest tonight?
Yes, we are so excited. As always, anytime we get to do this platform, we just exude our happiness. I hope you can tell in our voices. And even if we get serious, you know it's because we care about what we do and we care about our community. So thank you all so much. So tonight, Veronica, I just wanted to for you to share some of the upcoming events that you have, because I know you just posted something today that I think is so wonderful. So if you want to share a little bit of that, and then we'll just jump right on in to the rest of the broadcast.
Oh, well, wonderful. Thank you, Francine. Well, that is the posting that I posted on Facebook was really about a training that we're going to be doing starting the new year. We're going to have a meet and greet in December, but it really is for child care providers to prepare themselves for the changes that's going to occur. That's already happened, happening, shall I say, and then the full-blown transition will be 2023 with the Virginia Department of Education taking over that role of what the Virginia Department of Social Services used to do when it comes to licensure and all of that stuff. And so we're going to be doing a series of trainings to help them with their child care business and then business in general, just making sure that they're taking the right path. So that's basically what that program is all about.
Absolutely wonderful. So we're so excited to see the flyer today. And I know that it's a great undertaking. It's so new to everybody. So can you explain a little bit about how it used to be with social services and how it's going to be now? Because some people probably don't even know that there is a change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I basically, one of the reasons why I'm doing this training because in 2022 we want to do an after-school program. And somehow or another I was talking to the library director in Suffolk, and he was saying that he had a ECDC coordinator. And I was like, what the world is that? And that really is an early childhood early childhood development coordinator, because somehow or another they ended up basically connecting with the Department of Social Services regarding this this transition that's going on. And I just so happened to tell him that, you know, we were going to do some stuff and that I really wanted to make sure that I was on board with what was happening in terms of this transition. And so long story short is that if you are a daycare provider or a child care provider or what have you, and you're receiving any subsidy, state or federal, you're going to have to now adhere to the regulations of the Virginia Department of Education, because they are now sort of have the oversight for what social services. If you were going to had a home daycare business and you had to go through licensure and all that stuff, you would have gone through social services, and they would make sure that you were in compliance with all of the regs for you know, food, fire extinguisher, all that stuff, ratios in the classroom. But what their concern was that children who are in daycares, when they come to go, when they come out of child care centers, usually about maybe about five when they go into preschool or kindergarten, they're not prepared for kindergarten. And so what they're doing is almost might make it as like a standard across the board. Everybody that's going to have a specific child care program, there's a curriculum that the state wants you to be using. They have different regulations, or they've added regulations, shall I say, in terms of training and things of that nature. And so it just so happened, Francine, like God always does, we always come out right at the beginning of something. God always somehow or another puts us out on the forefront of stuff. And so I just shared with them that, hey, I'm going to use that 18 years of experience that I had in early childhood education. I have an associate's degree in early childhood education, and I want to make sure that for the launching of our after-school program and the trainings that we're going to be doing for these child care providers, not just, you know, not just child care training, because you're going to be coming in there doing some stuff with them in terms of credit and all of that stuff. They got to know that a home child care business is a business, Francine, and you got to have risk management. You have to make sure insurance, all the stuff that you really need to run a business, you still got to follow that as well as adhere to these new regulations that's coming out. Again, since it's so new with the Virginia Department of Education, I'm sure they're going to be doing a plethora of things as well, because 2023 is all systems go at that particular time. So that's sort of kind of what we're doing. We're trying to get ahead. It's called the Jump In Program. It's early childhood training and business training for child care, home child care providers. Now, if somebody is, you know, they go into a church and the church has a facility, or they're doing, you know, something with a child care center, we're not going to turn them, you know, turn them away. But this is specifically for those individuals who have home child care businesses. So that's basically a little bit about the program.
Okay, great and awesome. So I'm glad you mentioned that part about somebody may just want to come for the listening session. So they are welcome to come. Is this going to be at the library in Suffolk?
Yes.
Where it's going to take place? Okay. So somebody listening, if you just want to come to get more information as for the listening session, they could. But this is specifically for home-based child care centers. Now, let's say, because I know a couple of weeks ago we talked about those individuals who did not want to be regulated, what are they going to have to do if they don't want to follow the rules of this new program?
Yeah, I think that that's going to be the big question for moving forward, because again, with the new, you know, happen to, if you have subsidies, if you're taking subsidies, then of course you're going to have to do it. But if you say, you know what, I don't want any part of it, I'm just going to run my child care. You can run your child care business the way that you want, but if you use any type of subsidy, you're going to have to adhere to the state reg as well. And we're going to have I think one or two of the sessions, basically we're going to have somebody from VDOE to come in and speak to the group. And we're also going to have Shauna, who is the ECDC coordinator for that for the Suffolk Library, to also do a training there. So, again, because it's new for everybody. You know, whenever you do something new, it always is bumpy when you first get started. You know what I mean? Because this is a big transition from – because when I started years ago, everything came from the Department of Social Services. But in July of this year, that transition took place, and the Virginia Department of Education now has that. And so we want to make sure that we're providing them current information. We want to make sure that they understand that when you're, you know, when you have a curriculum that you're trying to enrich the lives of children, you also got to make sure that you understand that children have faced a lot of trauma in the last year or so, and that you've got to be able to identify that that child is in trauma. Don't put them in time out, you know, because you're thinking they're acting bad or something. You need to, as a child care provider or professional, understand that there are certain signs that kids may exhibit that may be indicators that there's something more to what's going on, and don't just put them aside and say, you know, you go over there to the, you know, the corner and time out for the next 15 minutes because you can't, you know, interact. So we want to make sure during this training, Francine, that we're giving them the most current, the things that's trending now in the early childhood field, and that's why I'm bringing consultants in, because I don't know it all, and as I said, my goal is to basically open up in 2022 an after-school program as well. And so we have to have this information for ourselves, because this is something that we're going to do, especially if we decide that we're going to transition to a building, but we're going to slow walk this thing and say, okay, we'll start here, and we'll begin with these kids. We're going to do it after school so we don't have kids all day long, and we'll see how that goes. And so there are many, many, many new things that's happening, and we just want to make sure that home daycare providers are on the cutting edge of what's happening, and that they're getting the best information and the best training from the experts in every area of running a business, not just the child care part of it, but understanding, do you want it to be sole proprietor, LLC? Do you want your daycare to be a nonprofit daycare? You know, all of those things. And so we want to, you know, we want to empower them and educate them in the best way that we possibly can for running their child care businesses.
That is awesome. I just so love this, and I'm glad you're on the show tonight so we can, you know, dive into it deeper, because the last time we talked, we kind of glazed over it because nothing was really set up. But now that it's set up and it's going, you know, full speed ahead, and even though we're going to slow walk the process, it's still things that people need to know. And so, Veronica, for those individuals who maybe think that, you know what, I'm just going to do it my own way, but do you think that sooner or later it's going to come the time when they're going to have to do some of the regulations? Because if the kids are not up to par when they've been with you for 3 years and they don't know what they need to know, do you think that's going to come, the hammer's going to come down, and they're going to have to get on board? Like, sometimes that's what it takes for everybody to be doing the same thing. You know what I mean? So, you know, you can have you can have a babysitting service, and that's different because you're not required to do anything but babysit, make sure the child is good and eat and get their bottles, whatever, you know. But if you say you are a child care provider, what do you think would be conducive to them not wanting to get this education and be able to help the children to be better prepared to go to be enrolled in school?
Yeah, I know that that's the million-dollar question, Francine, because in the state of Virginia, you can have three kids in your let's say, for instance, you a child care provider, and you said, I'm only going to keep three kids. You can do that and not get licensed. The moment you get the fourth kid, then you're going to have to get licensed. Now, you can get licensed and say, you know what? Okay, I'm a licensed child care provider. I can have 12 kids, 10 kids in my home or what have you, and all of my parents are military parents, right? They all basically pay on their own. There's no subsidies. You could you could remain that way. But the moment, I think that there's question about what about the food program? And what about, you know, if you have a child and mom is getting, you know, maybe some TANF or what have you, and social services is now, you know, paying, you know, $130 of your $150 a week, you know, daycare fees, then the moment you do that, then you're going to have to follow suit with everybody else. And I think, again, what the state is trying to do is they're really trying to have a level playing field. It's no longer where your daycare, you know, we got all these, you know, wonderful programs and things that's going on for our kids between the ages of 2 and 5 years old. But in the person's across the street daycare, they come in your house, y'all go look at the TV, and that's the gist of, you know, they're learning, and they're saying that kids are falling behind. So by the time they get into kindergarten, they're so far behind. It's so much work that has to be done, and they're saying, what they're saying is these formative years, that 2 to 5 year old, if everybody has sort of the same curriculum, and what we're going to do is we're going to be providing for them some of the curriculum that they can choose. There are several curriculums that they can choose, but it's no more that homemade curriculum, you know, that, you know, my kids are going to get ABCs and numbers and all the fun things. You can still do that, but they're saying that, hey, we also want to monitor you in terms of seeing how, you know, we want to come in and see the interaction with you and those kids by you using that curriculum. So I think what's going to happen, and again, this is just me, some providers are going to say, you know what, I don't want to do that. Others are going to say, yeah, I think this is going to be good because children do need to be prepared. And then, just like I was saying before, I think some people just going to go underground and like, I don't care, I'm not going to have neither, I'm not doing any of that. I'm just going to keep kids the way I've been keeping until I get caught or something. So it's going to be interesting, Francine. I'm really interested in seeing how this thing is going to go. All I know is that what we're going to do is provide trainings on both sides of it where they're understanding what this new thing is going to be. And then how do you create a educational space? You know, if you, let's say, for instance, you live in an apartment and you only have your den, how do you use that space? So we're going to have an interior decorator come in to help them, to show them how to make a small space an educational space so that they then can have that. And maybe you only have 6 kids, but you still can create a educational space with colors and books and all kinds of things where kids can learn it. And so that's what we want to do. And then, again, same thing. If you are a child care provider and, you know, you feel like you need to go to the bank and ask for a $20,000 loan, they need to know what the bank is wanting, and they need to know that that credit, them FICO scores and all of that stuff is important. And be prepared. And so that's the whole reason why you're doing that section for them, so that they really can understand that a business is a business. Well, if you got 3 kids, 15 kids, 35, you know what I mean? Of course, you can have 35 kids at home, but but that's what it is. Yeah.
Yes, yes. But that is so wonderful that you were able to be at the right place in the right time to make that connection. And, you know, we always talk about the God things. You know, we can set something to the back burner sometimes because we're not really sure if this is the time to do it. But God always brings it to the forefront, like you said, to make sure that you're positioned to be in that space when you need to be there and then be able to bring this thing to fruition. So I am just like over the moon thrilled, you know, I'm just like, woo-hoo!
Yes.
Because this is so needed. And the other thing, Veronica, I think, is so important because we know child care providing is an industry where there are all types of people that do child care and take care of children. But there are also bad characters in those groups of people that harm our children. And so I know that for me, I always wanted somebody that I could trust to take care of my child and somebody that would not cause them any harm or any other children any harm. And if I even had an inkling that something was going on, I was snatching my kids out of there immediately, you know. And so, again, I think regulation is important. I think that this is just me talking because we don't have case study or anything to prove this, but those who don't fall in line with some of the regulations, I think they're going to lose out and begin to lose their children, because parents want somebody who's going to help them to educate their children and not just babysit them, because they can hire a teenager or somebody just babysit, or a senior citizen just to babysit, but somebody that's going to help their children to advance and be where they need to be. Because I remember, you know, when my brothers and sisters were growing up, you know, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, you know, but still when I came home in the afternoon, I still had to help take care of them and help them with their homework. And if they weren't in school, teaching them their colors and a square, how to put square pegs, and they can't go in round holes and all of that stuff, you know, that you had to do, because they had to learn those things. And it did make a difference when my sisters went to school, because they were advanced, because we were working with them all along, you know, so.
Exactly.
I think that's so important. And so my thing, and since, you know, we're talking about children, is even now with the pandemic and them missing so much of school, last year we even know the older kids are in trouble of falling behind as well.
Yes.
And, you know, so it's just so scary when you just think about it, that we don't want another lost generation of kids where they didn't get the education that they needed because nobody felt that it was important, that they had their eyes focused on so many other things. And then knowing that prison to pipeline theory is based on your children not being able to learn by the time they get to the third grade, then they have them already set up to be a failure. And we just want to debunk that myth. Our children are smart.
Yep.
We have some smart kids. I'm going to tell you, you know, Veronica, look, you work with kids more than I do. And just from your conversations about the children, how important it is for them to know that the adults are thinking about them and putting them first and making sure that they get the education that they need. And I'm like I said, I'm just over the moon about this piece of the nonprofit and what you're doing. And thank you for your vision. And thank you for having the forethought to move this initiative forward and just get it going. So I applaud you for that. So anybody out there listening, Veronica, yes, if they want more information and they're interested, how do they get in touch with you?
Sure. We're going to be putting more information on the website. We put that information out on Facebook because we want people to get registered as soon as they can. Either they can connect with me or they can connect to the library. But if you want to connect with me, you can just go to our website at themicronom.org, or you can email me at info@micrononprofitnetwork.org to find out more information about not just that program, but all the other programs and services that we're offering in the community, Francine.
Absolutely wonderful. And if you would like to talk to me, you can give me a call and preferably a text at 757-567-6734 and go to icwdirector@gmail.com or go to issuesconcerningwomen.org. And we're going to be doing some new things on the website because it's coming to the end of the year, so I need to update some things. So don't hold that against me. Just send me a little email and I'll get to you. I just wanted to throw that disclaimer. I was like, I saw this the last time I came. Yeah, so we're going to update it within the next few weeks for the new year. Because can you believe, Veronica, it is the end of October.
End of October. We got 2 months before the new year to get
it.
It is just crazy.
I know. It is. And
oh
time
gosh.
Waits for no one. I was in a meeting today and person that was speaking, he said, we have to value our time. And that just rang all, you know, I was like, oh, yes, I have to do that. Because tomorrow's not promised to any of us, but as we plan and go forward, and, you know, and God willing, we have to know what it is that we want to do and do the things that are going to get us to where we want to be in 2022. So I'm so excited about
it.
And the holidays are coming. I know more people are now going to spend time with their family, even though we're still in COVID. And please, if you're not vaccinated, don't go to your relative's house without your mask on. Come on, people, stop it.
Yeah.
You know?
They have
children. We're talking about our children. And so the thing that I can't tell anybody what to do. I can only say stop thinking about yourself and think about the children that you may affect or the senior citizen that you may make ill if you don't get vaccinated. It's so important that we be the whole person and take care of all of our wellness. I was talking the other day I was at an event, and I was talking about wellness. And we always talk about mind, body, and spirit, but I had to ask, we should be talking about financially as well. So we have to add that piece, because everything that we do, it comes full circle when we're talking about our mind, wellness of the mind, wellness of the body, wellness of the spirit, and wellness of our finances. We have to do the whole thing and stop, you know, leaving the financial piece off, because we don't really want to talk about our money. And what Veronica was saying, my part that I'm going to play is I'm going to come in and talk about getting your credit score together, because if you don't have a credit score that is viable for a bank to look at, they're not even going to look at your application for anything. When you're getting your insurance, it's going to affect your credit score. So if you're a home daycare, you still have to get insurance. And if you don't pay your bills or you have a lot of collections on your credit score, you're going to have to pay more. So we need to get people up to date and take your head out of the sand and be aware that the finance piece is so important in our businesses, because we have to be about our business. If you're going to run your business, do it right. Have everything in place. And I can tell you a little story about I was contacted about a month ago to be on a panel, and then they were saying, because I am a church, in case some of you don't know, full disclosure, I'm a pastor as well. So they were saying, your church participates in this thing, we can send you some funds. And I was like, well, okay. And then first they said, well, we'll just send it out to the participants. And then they came back and said, no, it has to go to the church. And I know for the city of Virginia Beach, and I know this is a little bit longer than I wanted to talk about, but it's coming up, so it's got to come out now, right? So the city of Virginia Beach, you don't have to be a nonprofit to be a church. You just have to have your EIN number to be a church and to open your bank account. And so that's how a lot of organized churches are run, because some of them don't have full ministries. They just have, you know, maybe they have church on Sunday and maybe one ministry, you know, whatever, or they do church and then community services. So they're not a nonprofit organization. They just partner with other nonprofits. And so when they were talking about the money piece, I was like, I don't know if I would qualify, you know, because of the structure of my church. But luckily I did, so that was a blessing. But it just brings you to top of mind that you have to have your business in order. So you have to have all the pieces when you're working as a business. You have to have your EIN number. You have to make sure you have the right kind of insurance. You have to have insurance for your home, for the safety of the kids if somebody slips down, you know. And if you have an employee that's working with you, you might have to have workers' compensation. So it's a lot that goes into a business, and I won't, you know, bore people with that because we only have a few more minutes. But just I want you to think about it. If you're listening to us tonight and you have a business, make sure that your business is tight so that when things like this, when money is coming to the table, that you will be able to participate in different things. I know a lot of people couldn't get the PPP because they didn't register their business correctly, you know. And now they're calling me and saying, what should I do? Because, you know, if this thing happens again, I want some of that PPP money, you know. And some people went ahead and filled out the stuff and got it anyway, and now they got to pay that money back because they weren't really qualified to get it. But because so many people were in need, that they just went ahead and sent stuff out, and now they're asking for it back. And I'm getting a lot of those phone calls too. So be about your business, Veronica. I'm so, so excited about this program. I can't, you know, I won't say I can't wait, because I can, even because I value my time, so I can wait.
Yes.
But I'm so, so, so excited about it, and I know this is a blessing. You have been on this journey. It just did not start last month. It's been years and years of putting this thing together, and now God has blessed it, and it's coming to fruition. So kudos to you, my sister friend. So one more time, Veronica, just tell them how they can get in touch with you. And you know it's almost 7 o'clock.
Yes, I do. That's what happens when we get going. So they can connect with me at 757-572-0974. Only serious inquiries, please. And then, of course, going to our website at themicrononprofitnetwork.org. And then info@themicrononprofitnetwork.org to email me for any of the information that you see on the website or more information about our new program.
Wonderful, wonderful. And again, 757-567-6734. And you can email me at Issues Concerning Women. Go to www.issuesconcerningwomen.org. And so that brings us to the end of another broadcast. Thank you so much, Veronica, and I will talk
thank
to
you.
You soon. And to our audience,
right,
thank you
friend.
So much. And those who celebrate Halloween, be safe. Those who don't, do your trick-or-trunk or whatever they do. But just be safe out there. Just take care of yourself. God bless you all. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.